It is time to talk with Mark Grody and get our Bears hit. One word. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of your Chicago Bears. Hey, Groats, how did things go today for your Bears?
It was an interesting day out here today, Lawrence and Spiegs. Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you guys. By the way, there will be more, a second part to the up-down saga. There is more to report on that. I will bring you that towards the end of this Bears report, which Lawrence called one word. Are you irritated right now, Lawrence? Is it why not the two-word Bears hit right now? Is there something in particular?
Just one word
okay.
Right now. You know, okay. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it moves to two words.
Every day might have a different vibe, Groats. You know,
always keep in mind that it can be two words and also be bad if you really think about it.
Interesting. This is going to continue to progress. It's like my Bears scale. Lawrence has his one word two word scale, which we're just getting into, guys. Training camp practice day two out here at Halas Hall and. Let me give you some news and notes right off the bat here of some things, and I'll give you some of my observations. But rookie wide receiver Luther Burden is 0-2 in those practices, as he has missed both the practices. He was not out there today. Ben Johnson shared with us that Burden is still dealing with a soft tissue issue from the offseason program. Ben Johnson says that he is hopeful that Burden will miss just a few days, as in not a long-term injury. So we shall see when he next appears out here on the field. Also, guys, second-round rookie, defensive lineman Shamar Turner missed practice today with an ankle injury, the severity of which we don't know as of yet. Fifth-round rookie Zay Frazier. Bad day for the rookies. Fifth-round rookie Zay Frazier, the cornerback, missed the workout today for personal reasons, so presumably he would be back tomorrow. As far as the day on the field today, and another hour-plus practice on fields 1 and 2 out here at Halas Hall, the fields closest to Halas Hall, just okay for Caleb Williams. And I may be being generous when I say that. He was a bit off on a couple of deep balls today, one on a broken play to DeAndre Swift down the sideline. It's important to point out that it was a broken play. The other was to DJ Moore. That was in 7-on-7. And then a couple plays after the DeAndre Swift miss. He missed DeAndre Swift on a short pass to the left. He threw the ball behind him. I make a big deal out of to the left, because of the fact that was something that Caleb Williams was very specific with us about the other day. He said that I struggled during the offseason program on short throws to the left, and we saw him mess up one of those particular plays. Lastly today as well, Karan Amagaji was the number one left tackle, while Ozzie Trapillo was number one. Braxton Jones did line up again, just like yesterday. Braxton Jones was the left tackle when the full offensive unit came up, and we're just going through their team drills against air, so there's no defensive players, but I do think that is somewhat symbolic. Play of the day today, Kyle Manungai with what was probably estimated to have been about a 20 to 25 yard run. I think that it was the big offensive highlight of the day here today for the Bears.
That is a really good, complete report from Mark Grody, and we'll get to some sound here in a second. I've been wondering whether it's DeAndre Swift running wide zone and it's Kyle Manungai running inside zone, like if that's going to be ideally the way they do it. But, you know, we'll get there, and we'll have a chance to think about this stuff. Ben Johnson talking offense is what a lot of Bears fans' ears are going to want to hear in these early days.
And I think people will enjoy what they are about to hear from the head coach, the Bears, Ben Johnson. As you mentioned, he was asked a philosophical question in regards to how he will run this offense.
You told us when you got here that you were going to run the Bears offense, not the Detroit Lions offense from last year or the year before. But in terms of like run pass split, are there principles you believe in that you want to be around a certain number?
No, there are not. Every game is its own entity. And that's what I learned. I mean, I saw it for a number of years when I was in Miami. The New England Patriots were really the top of the league for so long, and each week you just didn't know. Offense and defense, they just continued to morph, and they had their opponents guessing. You didn't know what Belichick was going to pull out front-wise or coverage-wise on defense. You didn't know what McDaniels was going to do on all. He might throw it 50 times. He might run it 50 times. And standing from afar, seeing how dominant that was, I think that's a really good tactic to have. That's something that I would like to do here as well. You know, it's we got to – the elements play a role. Our talent plays a role. Who we're going against plays a role. It all plays a piece into the puzzle, and that's what's fun about each game week.
Man, that's great. That's ideally how you want it to be, and we have to do our part to keep that in mind on the back end of a game sometimes. You know, he'll have a chance to talk about it, but we got to be careful. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, look at the run-pass balance, and we just break down the numbers. Let's think about situations and game flow and how it all dictates that.
And matchup, too. Like, that's, I think, a really good piece of looking at what Bill Belichick does and using the best examples of it and being like, yeah, there was a game where he was like, no, the best way for us to win, it was that crazy like weather game where it was super cold. And what, they run the ball like 45 times or something like that?
Yeah.
Like that's what you have to look at and say, what's our best option this week for this environment? You can still build a toughness into your run game by drilling it. And I know that there are a lot of people within the sound of my voice like, hey, you got to keep doing it to do it right.
It's about rushing attempts.
But I understand where he comes from, not you know, tether himself to, we have to run the ball this many times.
The only part of it where I get, I guess, jaded, it'd probably be the right word, is that his predecessors, starting with Matt Eberflus, and moreover Shane Waldron, had similar, you know, verbalized similar thoughts and wanting balance, and you know that it's week to week, and you don't just have to follow everything rote. And then obviously things went particularly poorly. Matt Nagy had a version of that as well, and we know how he was like just so pass heavy. Like, he didn't really want anything to do with Jordan Howard or any of once the whistle blew and the kickoff was made. Matt Nagy did not really care for the running game. So let's hope that Ben Johnson's words are a little bit more true than his predecessors. Speak, you mentioned the running game, and I thought there was some interesting back and forth here. I'm going to play you Ben Johnson, and then we'll react to that, and then I'm going to play some DeAndre Swift to react to what Ben Johnson is about to say here. And this is Ben Johnson on running back DeAndre Swift, for whom Ben Johnson or DeAndre Swift played back in Detroit.
With DeAndre Swift, you coached him before. What seems different to you about the player you have now versus 3 years ago?
He has always been quiet. He's always been highly motivated on the inside. So there's a lot of things about him that are the same as what they've been. He's not happy with how last year went for him. Production-wise, team-wise, everything-wise. He's really motivated. He's really excited to help lead and spur this team forward. So I don't think I see a whole lot of differences from where he's been, but I see a very hungry individual.
He was really impressive on the microphone last year, I thought, guys. You know, I thought DeAndre Swift, a grown-up.
He didn't use a lot of words, but he spoke very well about some of the stuff that they had going on.
Yeah, there. I mean, and I can be frustrated by his style on the field at times, but in terms of his work ethic growths, I think the teammates respected him last year.
Yeah, and I will say this. It's funny you brought up the liking DeAndre Swift and hearing from him. Like, I will say that last year, I mean, he was kind of a rough subject. There were times when he, you know, everything was polite and well-mannered, that he didn't like to talk a lot in the locker room. He was not the guy that you could go up to and do oftentimes. You know, he didn't want to do a lot of that stuff in the locker room. And again, not in a rude way. But as I was listening to him today, I was like, DeAndre Swift is like, he's just a very honest guy. He's not to, if he needs to really expand on something, he will, but he's going to give, and maybe not always satisfying, he's going to give it to you straight. And I'm about to play it, but I will say this, like, I thought it was interesting that Ben Johnson just kind of paused a couple times, like right at the beginning, in the middle of that. I don't know if Ben Johnson knows what to think about his running back's room at this point. You know, it was obviously on Ben Johnson's watch that DeAndre Swift was there, but also on Ben Johnson's watch that Swift was not with the Lions organization. And he upgraded to two running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, both of whom are probably better on the overall than DeAndre Swift. So I just think it's interesting that right now, and the Bears, look, the Bears were going to, they had intended to, if they could, draft a running back, maybe even in the second round of the draft. I think Ben Johnson had anticipated that as well. So I think that we're just kind of at a point of, let's wait and see with this running back's room. But DeAndre Swift, what did he think about Ben Johnson saying that he, DeAndre Swift, was not happy with the way things went for him last year?
We didn't win many games last year, so if you ask anybody on the team, they probably had the same type of answers. Like I said, I don't think I produced enough to contribute to more wins, obviously. But a lot of stuff I feel like I can get better at. I'm just looking back, overall improving, just excited for the new opportunity, new year.
When you talk about the frustration that you had last season, how much did that drive you on a daily basis in your training in the offseason?
Very little, to be honest with you. My mentality is what it is, and it's not going to change. I didn't produce how I wanted to, but I'm not going to work harder because of it. I already work hard. That's just how I am. That's how I've always been, you know what I mean? So I got the same mindset with how I work, with the product will look like when we get going.
You said that you had some things that you felt you could do better. Do you want to expound on what that was that you felt you could improve on?
Everything, especially when numbers ain't where they should be statistically, even though I feel like scrimmage yards, they was best of my career, but we won 4 or 5 games. So it's like, can't sit up here and talk about anything positive, you know what I mean? Always got something to work on, always got something to get better at. So, like I said, I'm always, when team success is at a premium, everything else going to fall in line.
I think that this offense and some of the concepts that they have with their run game, I think DeAndre Swift actually fits pretty well. For right now, like maybe next year they upgrade and find someone that, but considering the thing that you hate about him as a runner actually makes sense for them to run wide zone with him. The idea of he's looking for where that cutback lane is.
Yep.
It actually makes sense for DeAndre Swift.
So let's use his strengths and do that. I mean, that's the job of the coach, is to find what his strengths are. Maybe some of my frustration with watching him last year was usage and what they were asking him to do.
Yeah, I think this is actually a better fit, but we'll see. What else we need to know, Groats?
Yeah, guys, let's go last couple cuts here. The always entertaining and engaging veteran safety of the Bears, Kevin Byard. Guys, this is his 10th year. That's a big deal in the NFL. And here's Byard just kind of talking about that, and then we ran with it.
For me, I'm just, you know, overwhelmed with just, like, gratitude. You know, every single year you get to walk in the building on the first day of training camp, you truly understand how much of a blessing it is. Even seeing guys like, you know, as you get older, you kind of see some of your guys that you kind of looked up to. You know, obviously Tyrann Mathieu's retired and things like that. So I just got a lot of gratitude for being able to play this game as long as I have, to be able to play with the guys that I play with. But like I said, just this team, man, we have a lot of lofty goals, and obviously it hasn't been a lot of success in this organization the past few years, but there's no doubt in my mind that we have the right guys in this locker room, on the coaching staff, that can turn this thing around very, very quickly. So that's what we're building to.
What are the lofty goals?
We're trying to win the Super Bowl. You know, I think Brice said it in an interview when he was doing his training camp, but it was true. Ben Johnson wants to build a dynasty, and we want to be that dynasty. We want to be the guys that kind of get this thing started. Myself, want to be one of the guys that kind of build the foundation of that and continue to go as long as we possibly can. So that's the goal. But like I said, man, we have a long way to go to be able to accomplish that.
It's so easy to be a fan of that dude. Really is. We heard about everything on the way out in Tennessee, and I know there was a bumpy year in between Philly, right? Philly, yeah. But here it's like he's an adult. He's an adult. I like the idea of being, you know, a building block for something, because even when you move on, and he will move on at some point.
I think that it's so adult. That's a great word, because he's looking at it and he's like, obviously we want to win the Super Bowl, but
mm-hmm.
it would mean something as a legacy to know that you're one of the people that helped to put in the foundation for the Bears being a winning team.
Yeah, don't you? I'm finding myself thinking back to those guys like, I mean, Lawyer Malloy and those early Patriots. The Patriots were a great thing for a long,
Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, long, long time, well after those guys were gone. But they're forever known as the dudes who helped build that thing, Mark.
By the way, Lawyer Malloy, one of the great Pat Summerall names of all time right there. Lawyer Malloy, because you could really extend that. So,
well, Groats, with Kevin being a 10-year veteran, I would imagine that the up-down thing for him has been a stark change to what his NFL life has been like.
That's why, Lawrence, your guy out at Hallis Hall had to open the door to the up-downs today with Kevin Byard.
It was different. It kind of took me back to, like, high school. It almost kind of felt like punishment a little bit. Like, but, no, it's special to me just because of, I think, the way DA kind of, you know, puts it to us is like, you know, you got to pay the toll. It's a buy-in, you know what I mean? It's almost like an initiation. And it's special. We had a guy, Alex Cooks, who actually reported here, got released, and actually they signed him in, I think, yesterday. He flew back into town, and to start practice, we all circled around him, and he did his up-downs. Kind of felt bad watching him do it by himself, but at the same time, it's just like, that's just one of those deals, like the initiation of his defense. Like, and then once he finished, everybody was like, welcome to the defense, and got on with practice, so... It's funny to me because he was saying the same thing. Like, if we get to week 15 and we sign a guy, he's going to do 15 up downs. So that's going to be, I mean, 40 up downs, which is going to be tough. But no, man, that's just what it is, man. I think that's the type of family atmosphere that DA is creating for this defense.
So it's 40 up downs?
40. Yes, 40. It's, yeah, 40 for sure.
Can't, like, no more up downs?
Yeah, no. Once you did them, you're good. Oh. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep tall. Cheap. Please. I don't care if you're year 10 or year 1. That thing is real, for sure. And it's funny because in the meeting, we watched the film yesterday, but because they filmed it. So y'all know Big Bill's like 340. I ain't trying to joke with Big Bill's my dog, but we got to like 20, bro. He wasn't even getting off the ground at that point. He was just hand on his stomach, picking his arms up. He was doing, it was funny. It was hilarious.
It doesn't sound hilarious. It sounds exhausting.
It does.
It sounds miserable.
It's really terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think...
feels like punishment.
It was nice to know. I was watching the practice today with another reporter from another radio station.
Oh, boy. Can't do that.
That's right. That's right. My guy, Pat the Designer. We're watching the practice out there, and he's coming up. Maybe I shouldn't have called him out because he was like thinking... He and I were talking. He was like, you notice how they didn't do the up downs today? I go, yeah. I said, I think that was just like the rollout thing. And he's like, yeah, I think it's because they did something bad. I think they did something wrong yesterday. So I was like, oh wow, this is it. So that's really why I asked the question.
I am less angry about it now that I know that they just did it once. Like, I'm okay with that. Like,
right, and that's it. That's it. And you know, and like, as you heard, any guy the Bears claim this year, let's go up downs, and then we'll play football.
All right. Okay. Now I'm okay with it. Now I actually do see it more as a bonding thing than a trying to do that like before every practice. No, ooh, thank you.
Man, you're gonna lose your mayorship in Worrytown. You start keep understanding stuff.
Well, I mean, we got more information, and that information was good.
I guess it's good.
I got some more info for you guys.
Please.
You want a little more info before nuggets,
tidbits? Yes,
before
please.
I skippity on out of here.
Skippity bobbity.
Skippity bobbity. By the way, Spiegel.
Yeah.
I think you've been at this radio station for a long time. I think skippity bobbity is one of the funniest things that comes out of your mouth.
Spiegel gabbity.
I really love that whole routine.
Do it it's just for you.
Wait, it's skippity boppity. No,
skippity boppity. Yeah, Skillman and Company.
All right, I'm sorry. Tyson Bajant was QB2 today. Case Keenum was third string. Oh. So they did keep to that, rotating back and forth, which of course they did with the left tackle today, as I mentioned at the beginning of the report. We were told today that Jalen Johnson is doing his leg rehab here at the facilities. No update on his potential return, but just to rule out some things and funny stuff that might be going
Zion. It's good to know that he is here in the building. We were supposed to hear from DJ Moore today, but we were told that he had to run home for a personal thing. DJ Moore did practice. He's all good, and he is scheduled to speak to the media tomorrow when, by the way, for the first time in 2025, fans will be allowed in for the first time. And finally, guys, this was my annual event. I'm going to call it an event this year. The event at training camp where all of a sudden, there he is. He just appears. He is the ex-suit from The Score. He is Brendan McCaffrey.
Oh!
He was out here today. Oh, yeah. It's such a, you see his smiling face. And I've got nuggets on Brendan McCaffrey. Brendan McCaffrey, for people listening, longtime Score guy. He was a longtime assistant program director with to Mitch Rosen.
Baldy McGrindy for some of you all out there.
Right.
Thank you very much. What was that Baldy McFarson? What was that?
McGrindy.
McGrindy. Let's go to, okay, enough of the Gillette. Lose it.
McFarson's.
Lose the Gillette.
Unbelievable.
I know Brandon a producer McCaffrey. Who did lose it. Permanently.
Because of that moment?
Just, you know, he got really tired of being told what to do and carrying a cart wheel with you everywhere. And then all of a sudden, oh, that cart burned out. That's too bad. No one took a razor blade to it or anything like that.
Oh, wow. Baldy McFarson. so anyway, Brandon McCarthy, Score guy, Chicago guy, Ooh. Who now lives in Jersey. He has lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my God. This guy. Wow, does he look good. I was like, geez, you are just glowing, McCaffrey.
And what did he say? That he stopped drinking Coke again, right?
No, he didn't say that. He did not.
Because that's one of his things. Like, he loves him some Coca-Cola.
You know what's interesting? And maybe we can workshop this at some point in time. I'm always worried to ask people how they lost the weight these days because I feel like people are very personal about that shot these days. You know, that shot, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Shot. A lot of people take the shot, but I don't think people like to reveil that.
Yeah.
So I just don't ask people how they lost the weight.
Some people really need it, and it ends up changing their lives. And
yes.
Some people want to do it without any sort of help like that. And
yeah, I think it's personal.
Yeah,
so
very.
I didn't ask, but I'm sure McFarson's would have told us. And here's the real kicker, guys. McFarson's told me that, and he gave me the permission, that he and his wife are having a second child.
Hey!
Congratulations. I mean, that's wonderful.
Yep, and they are naming him McFarson, apparently.
McFarson, so, McFarson.
Yes.
It's, it's rare to do the double name like that.
Mark Grody with McFarson. It first.
Yeah. That's right. See?
That's right. Give him all the credit.
Wow.
Groats.
Yeah, but he's out here with SiriusXM. So shout out to them and Jim Miller and Jeff Joniak and all the folks who were on top of it. Actually, they'll be out here tomorrow, too, if you guys want to intercept McCaffrey.
Yeah, we do. We do, and we should, and we will, and we hope so.
We should put them on
the air
tomorrow.
They'll be in studio tomorrow.
We really should.
I'm looking forward to transition. I won't be out here tomorrow, but I will be in studio with you guys giving more Bears thoughts with Raheemy and Harris tomorrow.
He should do our Bears hit tomorrow. We should have B-Mac
oh my
do
God.
Our Bears
that's
hit
that's
tomorrow.
A great, that's wow. a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Chris Emma is skipping a wedding to do our Bears
All
hit tomorrow.
All right. Well, so. We can do two Bears hits. Two words.
Wait a minute. Emma's doing the Bears hit tomorrow?
Yeah. And he's,
what a good Emma.
And he's skipping his wedding. He should go to that. If I were him, I would go to that.
No, he's going, but he's just
gonna
be going to be a little late.
His fiance was like, you know what? If I were you, don't worry about it.
That ain't right. His own fiance said, skip the wedding.
You know who
that's
else
probably
is going
a bad sign.
Wedding?
I'll marry the best man instead. I really like him. He's good.
Thanks, Groats.
He was telling me he's been talking this whole thing about how he can't be here Friday, and might not be here Saturday.
Uh-oh.
So I'm really happy to hear that Chris Emma has stepped up and he's doing the 5 o'clock. And maybe you bring in Baldy McFarson at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, we'll add B-Mac into the mix and we'll get a couple of different points of view. Like today, we had Jason Leisure on and we had Mark Brody on. It works out.
Thanks, Mark.
It works out. Bye.
Thanks, Mark.
He said guys, good day, bye. Sir.
I said good day.
Goodbyes are hard for me. Goodbye.